Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots to talk about this hour, so stay with us, and it's likely that you'll pick up some useful health tips for you or a loved one. 888-302-3684 is our number. We've got lots of time to share stories with you. 888-302-3684 gets you into the doctor's office for a question or comment. And I'll start the program with a very interesting article from this month's American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. You know, it strikes me as interesting that nutritional scientists take a long time to do a formal study of something that we in the field of holistic medicine, integrative medicine, naturopathic medicine, call it what you will, have been doing for decades, perhaps even centuries, which is putting our patients with various health problems on detoxification programs, on special diets. And so it was with this study, which is entitled The Long-Term Effects of Weight Reduction on the Severity of Psoriasis, a Randomized Controlled Trial. And so what I've noticed is now we have these powerful drugs for treating psoriasis. They're immunosuppressive drugs that are akin to the drugs that we use for severe rheumatoid arthritis, ulcerative colitis. They suppress the immune system because psoriasis is an autoimmune inflammatory problem. And so these blocker drugs sometimes have warnings associated with them, that they can increase the risk for infection, that they might ultimately increase the risk for certain types of cancers because, well, when you suppress the immune system, it's permissive of various other problems arising in the body. So these are harsh, potent interventions, which can definitely put a dent in your psoriasis, but could also undermine your health. And we see advertisements now on TV that show happy people running around engaged in activities and things that they were kind of ashamed to do before because they were afraid to disrobe. They were afraid to wear a bathing suit or a sleeveless dress. And what I've noticed in these ads, something interesting, is that most of the individuals recruited for these ads are just a little bit plump. And I thought to myself, you know, they really are getting it because the prime demographic for psoriasis, and unquestionably there are people who are rail thin who have psoriasis, but the prime demographic for psoriasis are people who are somewhat overweight, if not frankly obese, that obesity increases the risk for all inflammatory disorders, including psoriasis. So in this study, they undertook a program of weight reduction to see if it would impact the psoriasis. And actually, it did. Not only did the weight reduction in short term reduce the risk of psoriasis, but when people went back on their normal diets after losing weight, there was a benefit for as much as 64 weeks after the initial experiment. So there was a long-term benefit. And what they're saying here is that, maybe lifestyle intervention for psoriasis is a new avenue for treatment. How about that? That's something I've been preaching for decades, knowing that it can work. But what was interesting is that they put people, in order to get them to lose weight, they put them on some kind of special protein powder and probably told them not to eat certain foods. So it wasn't really necessarily just about weight loss. They didn't comment on this in the discussion. It wasn't just about simple caloric reduction. It may also have been that they were on kind of an elimination diet. Maybe they're eating less pro-inflammatory foods. What about their intake of baked goods, cookies, and breads? Usually on a weight loss program, you somewhat curtail them. We find that many patients with psoriasis do better on a gluten-free or grain-free diet, something like a paleo diet. Imagine the benefits that would have accrued if the study had looked at not just a low-calorie diet, but a diet specially designed to eliminate inflammatory or allergenic foods. That truly would have been an interesting intervention study. But nonetheless, mainstream nutritionists come in to recognize that psoriasis, it's not just about a medication deficit. It's a disorder that is related to the foods we put in our mouths. 888-302-3684 is our number. Let's talk to Kathy in Connecticut. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. My question is, the walk-in medical doctor gave me cefadroxil 500 for a cat bite, which is working, mm-hmm. but she told me not to take any vitamins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about it. When you get bitten by a cat, there's some really nasty germs in a cat's mouth, bacteria that can cause, you know, really serious infections. So even though there may not have been an infection, they do something called prophylaxis, which is preventive. So if you get a tick bite these days, they give you doxycycline. If they give you a cat bite, they give you a powerful cephalosporin drug that may be overkill, but, you know, you don't want to get that type of infection. So this is what doctors often do. Without studying the interaction of medications with vitamins, they know that there are some potential interactions. That much they know. And they've really been propagandized that, you know, you got to watch out when you prescribe medications because people are taking vitamins and there could be harmful interactions. So as a shorthand to actually studying each and every possible combination, which is, you know, takes time and training, something that I do, but not many other doctors do, the shorthand is to say, don't take any vitamins or supplements with the medication. Now, that's ridiculous. And I actually can't think of a single contraindication in terms of a supplement that you might be taking when you take this particular antibiotic. I don't even know if there is one.
All your vitamins.
Yeah, so I think that you could continue taking your vitamins. I think it's perfectly all right.
Great.
And in fact, what you should be doing is you should be adding, you know, doubling your probiotics. Presumably you take a probiotic, right?
Yes.
What do you take?
Well, let's see,
Florastor. Pulturel. Okay. Yeah, Florastor is a really good one because Florastor is particularly helpful at preventing, the consequences of, antibiotics because it's actually, Florastor is not a bacteria, so it's resistant to the antibiotics. It's actually a fungal species, Saccharomyces. And so it will actually, work perfectly even if you're taking powerful antibiotics. It won't be destroyed by the antibiotic. That's a good one to take. Culturelle's a good one to take. Dr. Heroes would be a good one to take. And you might double it up, but just make sure you take your probiotic away from the antibiotic.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for calling and, you know, gotta watch out for those cats. They could sometimes be unpredictable. 888-302-3684 is our number, and we'll be right back with more information here on Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 is our number. And let's talk to Nicole in New Jersey. How are you doing, Nicole?
Hi.
Hi there.
No, pretty good, thank you. I've had this problem for maybe 50 years, and it's getting worse. After I eat, for some reason, about 20 minutes after I eat, except at dinner time, it's only in the morning, I get totally, totally out of breath, like I'm panting, and my heart pounds, and my body hurts, and then it goes away after like 10 minutes. It's weird. I was always in good health. I'm a tap dancer and tennis player. Not now. I'm old now. But I had my heart checked. I had my blood checked. And nobody tells me why my heart. I mean, it's like, I'm really like that.
You're panicking.
And I can't And I can't half-bend. When I half-bend, like, to vacuum, it happens again. I get totally out of breath and exhausted.
Okay. Yeah, so there may be something anatomical with you when you, because it suggests that if you bend over, you compress your abdomen. And of course, when you eat, you compress your abdomen. And sometimes people have a nerve response through what's called the vagal nerve, that changes the way their heart beats and the way that they, you know, respiration, you know, the rate of breathing. So typical reasons for shortness of breath after eating include GERD, you know, reflux. When you have reflux, the food comes up and it gets in your throat, and sometimes people feel like they're short of breath or they have hoarseness. That could be one of the causes. Another cause is an allergy to a food. That can actually cause the pulse to race. You might have that kind of reaction. It's a less common cause of this. In people who have lung problems, people have COPD, which presumably you don't, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or emphysema. They have limited breathing capacity anyway. And when you eat, you know, it's kind of like, it's hard to eat and talk at the same time. Well, it's hard to eat and breathe for some of these people because they have limited breathing capacity to begin with. I presume that that's not the case with you. And then, you know, sometimes there's psychological factors associated with that. Not that, that you're a nutty person, but that sometimes people have anxiety when they have these little funny sensations internally, and they, you know, the anxiety amplifies the sensation and they get into a rut that way. So I'm not exactly sure what's happening with you, but hey, it's been going on for 50 years. It sounds like it's pretty constitutional. It's a deep-seated problem that's probably not going to turn into something dangerous.
I'm 91 now. And
There you go. There you go. You survived 50 years of the problem. But, you know, the thing that might be worthwhile, you know, you said the one doctor you haven't seen is a gastroenterologist. You may have GERD or reflux as a cause of your problem. And that's a frequent cause of shortness of breath when you eat. So get that checked out. That might be good. All right. This item is of interest because we're trying to preserve our brains. As we live longer and longer, the likelihood that we will suffer some form of MCI, minimal cognitive decline, or age-related cognitive decline, or even dementia or Alzheimer's increases. So this article comes to me from Dr. David Perlmutter, America's foremost neurologist. We've done many podcasts with him. And he notes a new study that has found an association between higher levels of docosahexaenoic acid. What's that? Well, it's DHA from fish oil. Fish oil contains two constituents, EPA and DHA. And it's the DHA that may be the business end when it comes to protection against Alzheimer's. An association between higher levels of DHA and lower levels of cerebral amyloidosis. Amyloid debris is what causes Alzheimer's disease, and it's the target of many failed drugs trying to clear up the amyloid. It turns out that DHA can produce lower levels of cerebral amyloidosis. Limited seafood intake may increase the risk of brain amyloid deposition, on the other hand, and Alzheimer's disease. So in this study, serum DHA levels were inversely associated with brain amyloid load. Pretty cool study. It also demonstrated better nonverbal memory scores in participants who had higher blood levels of DHA. We actually measure levels of DHA in our patients at the Hoffman Center. It was a blood test, but hey, you know, most conventional doctors don't bother to do that. I think that's a very, very important test for heart health and brain health, and also to assess your potential for inflammation. So what's up with that? DHA may have anti-inflammatory effects. It may help to nourish the cells in the brain in some way that we haven't yet understood. But this suggests that using DHA may help to forestall the inevitable decline that people experience in memory, as well as offset the risk for Alzheimer's disease. 888-302-3684 is our number. And let me tell you about the Zona Plus, because we've been getting a lot of positive feedback since we've been talking about it here on our show. The Zona Plus is a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure 10% or more naturally. And it's so effective that it works for 9 in 10 people. We're getting fantastic testimonials from people who heard about it and are trying it. At least 22 clinical studies confirm that regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks with no negative side effects. It's a high-tech smart device that guides you through a daily therapy practice. It's used once a day for just 12 minutes, and it really works. Plus, a recent study showed an additional 20% drop in triglycerides as an additional benefit to the Zona Plus therapy. So you can try it risk-free. Zona Health offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Try the Zona Plus for 3 months and see if it works for you. If it doesn't, return it for a full refund. Go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 866-669-9662. That's TryZonaNow.com or 866-669-9662.
As consumers in the 21st century, we are truly fortunate to have an abundance of choices in our daily lives. But when it comes to digestive health, there should only be one choice. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, easily recognizable in the bright green box on your retailer's shelf. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics stands out among all others. Never freeze-dried, but always live and viable due to a unique 3-year fermentation process, award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provides the restorative balance needed to support your own exclusive probiotic fingerprint. And that is very important, as no two of us are alike. With over 30 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics takes digestive and wellness support to a whole new level. So look for the bright green box on your retailer shelf today. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. I just want to mention that the Zona Plus blood pressure device, there's a special offer on it where the company, as a special deal for Intelligent Medicine listeners, offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can try it risk-free for 3 months and see if it works for you. And if it doesn't, return it for a full refund. And as a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. So go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 866-669-9662. Okay, this item, you know, lots of arthroscopic surgery in this country. You know, a lot of people will injure their knees. And if you have arthritis of the knee already, we know that that is arthroscopic surgery for arthritis of the knee doesn't work. That's been proven conclusively. But what if you have a meniscal tear? You know, the availability of MRIs in this country has made it possible to get real fine images of little tiny tears that occur in the knee when you injure your knee. So it kind of makes sense to go in there through a little tiny keyhole and do arthroscopic surgery and fix up the meniscal tear, right? Perfectly logical. So they did a study that was published last month in the British Medical Journal. And it's interesting, the study was done in Denmark and Norway, where apparently they care about excess medical costs and excess imaging. And also, there's less incentive to do more because it's, well, it's not, medicine is not an entrepreneurial field. It's socialized medicine. So they're really trying to find the most effective therapies at the cheapest cost. I'm not saying socialized medicine's good because by no means, you know, it so restricts people's access to excellent care in many instances. But there, it's not profit driven. And so they carried out a big study to compare exercise therapy alone with arthroscopic surgery in middle-aged patients who had identifiable meniscal tears. All these patients had had tears. 140 adults, average age 50, and they had demonstrable tears in their meniscus. That's the cushioning of the synovial membrane between the upper part of your leg bone, the upper leg bone and the lower leg bone at the knee. So half the patients receive a supervised exercise program over 12 weeks with just 2 to 3 sessions each week, and half received arthroscopic surgery followed by rehab exercises at home. And what they found was that there was no clinically relevant difference between the two groups for outcomes like pain, function in sport and recreation, and knee-related quality of life. Moreover, 3 months after the start of the study, muscle strength had improved in the exercise group, so that was good. There was no difference. Now, you might say, well, what about some of the people for whom this didn't work? Well, a small proportion of participants in the exercise group, they thought it didn't work, and so they had the surgery. But the surgery provided no additional benefit. So that's pretty amazing. It gives the lie to arthroscopic surgery for meniscal tears, which is real popular, continues to be done at a very high rate in this country. But according to the study, doesn't help much. Yeah, there may be some instances where it makes a big difference. Maybe if you're a professional athlete, they do that all the time. But for the average patient, didn't make much difference. So the editorial in the British Medical Journal says, essentially good evidence has been widely ignored in a world of increasing awareness of constrained resources and epidemic medical waste. What we should not do is allow the orthopedic community, hospital administrators, healthcare providers, and funders to ignore the results of rigorous trials and continue widespread use of procedures like arthroscopic surgery for which there has never been compelling evidence. Pretty amazing. 888-302-3684 is our number. And those of you who perhaps you too late for you to call today, or decide not to call today, or too shy to call today, you can email us your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. We do podcasts. We do 5 podcasts per week in addition to the 2 hours of weekend programming and live radio. The podcasts are accessible via drhoffman.com or iTunes or Stitcher or your favorite provider of podcasts. And one of our weekly podcasts is our Q&A with Layla. And where do we get our questions from? Well, from you, the listeners. You can email us your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. Then listen to the podcast and hear your question answered. Let's talk to Huma from Corpus Christi, Texas. I bet it's hot down there.
Yes, it is. It's very hot down here.
How you doing, Huma?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
It was about blood pressure. I wanted to know that I know there's a lot of natural ways to reduce blood pressure with supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying all those, but maybe I'm not taking the right dosage or the right amount of magnesium.
Yep.
Is there something I could do or like take more?
Well,
or less?
Absolutely. I mean, but first of all, you know, let's get to the fundamentals. What's your height and weight? If you mind sharing, if you don't mind sharing.
No. This is for my dad.
Okay, for your dad. What's his height?
I think he's 5'4", and he is around 130 pounds.
Okay, so he's a bantamweight kind of guy. And that suggests, I mean, we don't know what kind of physical condition he's in, but he's not overweight. It's possibly metabolically overweight. Even though your normal weight, we call this, we call this, the people are fat inside, but thin outside. And so, but let's assume that weight is not the issue. There are people who have high blood pressure who are thin, and this is actually the most challenging type of situation because it's not about losing weight. Diet still has an impact on that, and sometimes carbohydrates drive blood pressure up because they cause insulin resistance, even in people of normal weight. But let's, you know, put that aside for a moment. Is he exercising? I don't know. Maybe he's, you know, physically compromised. He's an older individual, so he may not be able to exercise that much. Magnesium is helpful. Fish oil is helpful. Some studies have shown that vitamin D can be helpful. We also, use, various herbs to sometimes lower blood pressure. But the one thing that he should investigate, and you've heard about it on this program, is the Zona Plus. The Zona Plus can be used by people of any age, and even if you're on blood pressure medication, it will lower your blood pressure a significant amount. It might make it possible for you to be on less medication, or if you're on two or three medications, to get down to just one, or if you have just mild to moderate hypertension, or maybe your doctor's threatening to put you on blood pressure medication, it could just make a difference between being on medication or not. And it's just a, you know, something that you do, a little exercise that you do with a computer-assisted device that you hold in your hand. It really can make a difference. So that's something that, I might suggest. When it comes to magnesium, the most effective type of magnesium for blood pressure lowering, in my opinion, is magnesium taurate. And some people, you know, they take one or two and blood pressure doesn't come down, but really they ought to be taking, four or six. The limiting factor, too much can cause diarrhea. It's important to mention chiolic aged garlic extract because in a recent study, their cardiovascular formula, which I think is 600 milligrams, you take four of those a day, 2400 milligrams, and studies show it can lower your blood pressure. Garlic, has a relaxing effect on the blood, on the blood vessel walls. So that, those are some of the key interventions. There are many things that can be done nutritionally, but those are some specific ones that he can try. Try the chiolic or try the Zona.
Zona. Is there a website for that? Zona,
yeah, it's or? Called Try Zona Plus. Let's see. Let me see the website. It's tryzonanow.com.
Okay.
Tryzonanow.com or 866-669-9662. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling. 888-302-3684 is our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be back with more of your questions and more health information here on Intelligent Medicine.
At Wakanaga of America, we have dedicated the past 44 years proudly producing Chiolic, the world's most scientifically researched, best-selling, and odorless aged garlic extract. We begin with 100% organically grown garlic from our farms in California for maximum purity. We age our garlic to perfection in a unique 20-month extraction process to eliminate odor and create beneficial compounds found only in Chiolic. Aged garlic extract has been researched in more than 750 published scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA. Studies have focused on cholesterol, high blood pressure, immune stimulation, and all major cardiovascular risk factors. This is the Chiolic difference. So when you're looking for a supplement for great cardiovascular support, reach for the number one best-selling and odorless aged garlic extract, Chiolic. Please visit our website at chiolic.com. Chiolic aged garlic extract is available at fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And let's take a call now from Joanne in New York. How are you doing?
Yes, good. Thank you. I just need your opinion. My 25-year-old is going to Haiti in 2 weeks to work in a hospital volunteer.
Yeah.
And,
that's commendable.
Yes. He had some blood work done to check if he needed any particular shots. And the doctor said that it did not show that he had the measles, the rubella, or the chickenpox.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit, but you know, here's the deal. When you go to a country that is sort of, you know, off the beaten track, they will check you to see if you've had the right immunizations. I can look at immunization records, or you can do a blood test to see if indeed, even if you've had immunization shots for typical things, measles, mumps, rubella, and so on, diphtheria, tetanus, whether you have positive antibodies formed. So it is possible that even though you got the original vaccination, young people get a lot of vaccines, that the resistance has worn off and that the antibodies may not be present. And therefore, they might recommend some additional shots as a precaution because you're going into sort of the hot zone there, place where a lot of these diseases still are rampant. If you want the 411 on the types of things you should be doing if you go to a specific country, there's a website. You know, you can Google, you know, travel health, say, Sumatra, you know, and find out what you need to do for that specific part of the world. From the Centers for Disease Control, they have a website for travelers. So right now I'm Googling health information for travelers to Haiti, and they take me to a website of the Centers for Disease Control, and they tell me what vaccines are mandated. You know, there's certain parts of the world where there's still malaria, and you need to take there's no vaccine, but you need to take certain medication if you're going into those areas because you're at high risk of contracting malaria. Now, of course, there's Zika. There's no vaccine or preventive for that. They also give you a packing list of things that you might need to take, say, to prevent traveler's diarrhea or to, you know, minor first aid kind of things, measures that you might take. And then they also give you special travel advisories. In this case, there's a travel advisory I noticed for Haiti where it says Zika outbreaks have been reported. So they say because of the risk of birth defects in babies born to women who are infected with Zika while pregnant, women who are pregnant should not travel to Haiti. Now, even more complicated is that they now say that if someone has traveled to a place like that and they want to engage in sex with the possibility of conception, i.e. without contraception, that you ought to be careful because you may be unsuspectingly a carrier of Zika, and even males can transmit it to females, and that can cause, not in every case, but in a certain percentage of cases, a frighteningly high percentage of cases, can cause birth defects. So there, I mean, it's kind of worrisome when your son or your child goes to a place like that, you know, I think they need to take the proper vaccines, even though vaccines have their issues associated with these vaccines as well. 888-302-3684 is our number. Let's talk to Rick in Iowa. Hi, Rick.
Hello. How you doing, Doctor?
Good, thanks.
Got a question concerning NRF2 technology as it relates to oxidative stress.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about that?
Well, what in regard to what? Because the NRF pathway, I think I know where you're going with this. The NRF pathway is the pathway of inflammation, particularly in the brain, and is associated with neurodegenerative diseases. So that pathway is very active in conditions like Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease and other neurodegenerative conditions, maybe even ALS. So we just actually referred to it because I was talking earlier about DHA, which is a component of fish oil, docosahexaenoic acid, as inhibiting the NRF2 pathway. So specifically, there are things that are good for that. But also, there's some evidence that things like curcumin may be beneficial, perhaps pycnogenol, perhaps resveratrol. All of them have multiple activities and work in a variety of ways, but in particular, the NRF2 pathway is one to focus on to slow the progression of inflammatory disorders, particularly in the brain.
So correct. I had a stroke in August of 2015, mm-hmm. January of this year. I had two partial seizures related to the stroke.
Yeah.
And I got on a product called Protandim, through Life mm-hmm. Vantage. And
right.
It has basically turned my life around, but I just wanted to see if you had knew of anything like that, or I know there's a lot
of... Yeah, it's an antioxidant, but it's a botanical antioxidant product, and I think it's a good product. I think it's a good product.
Okay.
So, but you know, the other thing that could be helpful for you is after a stroke, consider hyperbaric oxygen. How long ago was the stroke?
The actual stroke was in August of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And the seizures, partial seizures, were in January of this year.
It still might not be too late to contemplate getting hyperbaric oxygen. You know, I know you're out there in, where are we calling from? You're calling from Iowa.
Southwest Iowa.
Yeah. See, here in New York, we have places which are like Hyperbaric Medical Associates, which is a place where people can get innovative use of hyperbaric oxygen. There, it might just be restricted to the very conventional medical diagnoses for which hyperbaric oxygen is recommended, like poorly healing wounds, or, you know, divers accidents, things like that, where it's a very limited application. But a more innovative, sometimes fortunately not covered by insurance, but I think it's innovative, and I think there's a chance of success. Post-stroke patients can benefit from that high pressure of oxygen. By the way, I'm looking up Protandim as we speak on multitasking, and it contains some interesting ingredients, five herbal ingredients, which are milk thistle, bacopa, which we know helps focus and concentration, ashwagandha, and green tea. And green, you know, I don't know about the others, but I know that green tea is a specific NF-kappa B NRF2 modulator.
Right.
So.
Good.
So there you have it.
Like I appreciate that, and I'll look into that information. I appreciate what you do on your show for other people.
Well, my pleasure. We're getting a lot of calls out of Iowa. It sounds like we have an active listenership.
Thanks for tuning in.
Good luck to you. All right, this item, and we're talking about neurodegenerative disease, so let's talk about Parkinson's. Many supplements have been proposed, coenzyme Q10, vitamin E, still under investigation, remains controversial, but a new supplement holds promise for patients with early Parkinson's disease. It's kind of interesting. It turns out that uric acid is both good and bad for you. High levels of uric acid can cause gout, and we use drugs to lower uric acid in many patients who have gout or who have uric acid kidney stones. But in the case of Parkinson's disease, it's helpful to have a higher uric acid. And how do you get a higher uric acid? There's a supplement that raises your uric acid. So if you have gout, don't take this supplement. But if you have Parkinson's disease, this may be promising. This is a preliminary study that shows that inosine, it's like an amino acid, that can be used to increase the levels of uric acid in the central nervous system, which thus impacts the brain. And uric acid, in addition to causing stones and gout, it's also a potent antioxidant. So you increase your antioxidant protection by taking inosine if you're suffering from Parkinson's disease. It's a new strategy that may well pan out. All right, thanks very much for joining us. Remember, this program is just the tip of the iceberg of the comprehensive intelligent medicine phenomenon, whereby you can listen to podcasts, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our newsletter. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.